You're listening to the AHTB Cyrils and Orsies podcast. Highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to the AHTB Cyrils and Orsies Harvest podcast mini-series. Today I'm talking to Richard Orr in Northern Ireland. Richard hosts our Dan Patrick Monitor Farm, and I spoke to him over the phone on the 24th of July while he was out judging the Northern Ireland Oat Competition.
Hello.
Hi Richard, it's Eleanor here. So how are things going?
Not too bad. Started harvest there yesterday. It started July. It was poorer than we expected, and we started winter barley harvest yesterday, so that was 23rd of July. About a week to 10 days earlier than normal for us, with about 3/4 of it cut, and about 3 to 3.2 tons per acre, which is how we need. Quite a bit of grain, but our bushel weights would be low 60, 61, 62 in the bushel weight at the minute, so it's not weighing as normal. We would normally be at 71, 72 bracket. Moisture content's coming off about 16-17%, which is pretty good for our part of the country. The first part of it has been round baled, 4x4 round baled, with 9 bales to the acre. Cold mark price, it's very good. It's all sold at £30 per bale, lifted out of the field. I've had to stop taking almost for barley straw in general, because until spring barley's cut and we see how poor the straw yield is, we can't take any more orders at the moment.
I know you've struggled with the weather out there. Could you tell me a bit about what it's been like?
Yeah, really, I suppose the struggle with weather started right from last August and the 2017 harvest. And from then, we had 9 months of solid rain, which made autumn drilling and sowing difficult. So establishment was awkward, although we managed not too bad. But we come into spring where the ground was very much saturated and hard to get early crop establishment. And nutrient management carried forward. We actually missed the whole T-naught spring timing, although disease pressure was a wee bit lower. And then we prayed too hard, and come April, it stopped raining about the 20th of April. Since then, we've had about 18 millimetres of rain in the last 3 months, so we're struggling big time now with drought, so it's a complete switch from one to the other.
What impact has that had on your farm this year?
The biggest impact is yield is down. Quality is poor, so our bushel weights are down in the yield. We're 3/4 of a ton down on our yearly average. Hopefully prices being slightly inflated this year due to weather conditions will compensate, but overall tonnage of grain to sell is going to be down. Very much with spring crop, spring barley is compared to a disaster. I would say 2 to 1 maximum yield and 4 to 5 brown bales of straw, so it's not looking very promising. It would be our rain crop, everything else. Wheat is standing the weather pretty well. It must have got good roots down in the autumn, and we've tried to keep feeding it with foliar feed to keep the plant ticking along, and it has. So hopefully it's putting the energy into the head of the grain. Probably 2 weeks off harvest for winter wheat.
Am I right in thinking that you've harvested all of your hybrid rye now?
Yes, it was all harvested in the 11th of July. Yields would have been down. We had an average of 12 tons to the acre, which is poor. We were hoping for 14, 15. But the crop died in rather than ripening in, so the weight wasn't there. Hopefully quality for the end consumer is still okay, but we've lost down a wee bit on yield there, so that's curtailed the overall profit on the rye, but still going forward as a crop we'll try again next year and see if we can improve.
What was the hybrid rye like to manage as a crop?
It's pretty good to manage as a crop. There's not a lot involved. One good spray timing and a good nutrient program early on, and its vigour explodes in the springtime with rapid growth. Most tricky thing we noticed as the two or three farmers that were growing together, all the DMA customer, was making sure we got our PGR program correct to keep it standing, which worked quite well.
What was it like to harvest?
It was very easy to harvest. We had a contractor come in and hold crops for the local digester, so it's a swift operation, nothing involving me. All I had to do was stand and watch and record the weights. So it's a simple crop to grow. There's not a lot of time spent on management. When it comes to harvest, it's a quick shift, a few hours, the crop's harvested away, a job done.
So I think you said that you use a contractor. Is that for all of your harvesting?
Yes, we don't have a combine of our own, so we bring in a local contractor to do the combine. We're sort of probably what you say on the cusp of being big enough for your own combine, but the convenience is outweighed nearly by the overall cost of having your own machine sitting there all year. And we're quite lucky that the contractor we work with is fairly reliable and generally don't have to wait too long. We can suit the timings. He has five of his own combines, so he fits it in within a few days and keeps it ticking along.
Okay. Have you always used a contractor?
Yes, we've never had our own combine before. We do all our own baling and our own drying, and there's only my father and I working together, so there's plenty happening, and if the contractor can work away with the combine, it keeps our jobs flowing along. We can manage everything else.
When you've done benchmarking or looked at your figures, have you worked out how much you save by not owning your own combine?
It's a very difficult question to answer because you've got to take in the risk factor. If you did lose a week of harvest and it rains and you lose half a ton of the acre crop, you would say on that year you should have your own combine, and it far outweighs the cost and expense incurred in loss of crop. But on a decent year then you say it wouldn't pay to have a combine sitting there for to do 4 or 5 days work in the year when the contractor can come in and £30,000, the job's done, and no worries if it breaks down and there's any hassle. Yes, if we were to increase our arable area, it would be something to consider so that you can cut at your optimum timing all the time and you're in control yourself, you're not relying on others.
Have you done much benchmarking?
Yes, I first started really taking up more to do with the arable side of the business in 2008, and we've benchmarked with our local Caffrey College ever since. In last year, I used FarmBench first, which was a very good program, easy to use, and goes into great detail from start to finish and covers all aspects of your costs of production.
So I was going to ask you about other harvests that you've had at your farm. What would you say was the best and the worst that you've had?
The best actually was the first year I started benchmarking and really taking more to do with the business. My dad was still in control, but we had a brilliant harvest that year, which was in 2008. That year we cut an average over all the fields of 5 tons to the acre, which was has still to be exceeded. We've had fields that have done better, but on all average for the year we haven't come close to that. Probably the second best year would have been 2013, when we were coming off the back of a year where supply and demand meant there was high prices still, but we had a good growing season and yields were very good. But the worst year by far, yield-wise and crop-wise, would be 2012. Everybody remembers the autumn 2012 where it rained continually. But the rain came just at the wrong time when the crop was flowering and pollinating, and yields were very poor. We had an average of 2.2 tons to the acre for winter wheat and 3 tons to the acre for winter barley. But price made that up, which was a great compensation because we got £232 a ton of an average for winter wheat, which made it actually our most productive year on income for grain sales. So when it comes to bottom line figures, the worst year for growing crops was 2012, but our best year for income was 2012. You have to put it all into perspective, and it comes down to your figures all put in at the last. When everything's weighed, sold, and prices collated, you can have the best yield in the world, but if prices are poor, it's very hard to cut.
What do you think the harvest will be like in 100 years' time?
Oh, that's a good question. I reckon you'll leave the trailer at the corner of the field, and the robot will cut it, dump it in the trailer, and send you a text message when the trailer's full.
And finally, how will you celebrate the end of harvest?
Going how spring barley looks, I don't think there'll be much to celebrate. It might just be a relief to have it over and look forward to better 2019.
Well, I hope it does all go better than you hope. I'll let you get back to oat judging. That sounds fun.
Yes, we're right up in the northwest of the province here where they've had more rain, so crops are a lot healthier.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Nick.
That's all from us. Thanks very much for listening. Tune in again next month for more from AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds. For all our listeners out there, if you'd like to get hold of AHDB's harvest resources, go to cereals.ahdb.org.uk/harvest or read down in the podcast episode notes.